It was not, however, a route the mind of a small archaic warship could plan for, create and follow. By the time it was noticed that the ship's mind had taken exactly that path through its screen of annihilation, it was too late to stop it from falling away through hyperspace towards the small, cold planet forth out from the single yellow sun of the nearby system. It was also too late to do anything about the light from the ship's exploding warheads, which had been arranged in a crude code, describing the vessel's fate and the escaped mind's status and position, and legible to anybody catching the unreal light as it sped through the galaxy. Perhaps, worst of all, and had their design permitted such a thing, those electronic brains would now have felt dismay, the planet the mind had made for through its shield of explosions was not one they could simply attack, destroy, or even land on. It was Shah's world, near the region of barren space between two galactic strands called the Sullen Gulf, and it was one of the forbidden planets of the dead. Chapter 1. Sorpin. The level was at his top lip now. Even with his head pressed hard back against the stones of the cell wall, his nose was only just above the surface. He wasn't going to get his hands free in time, he was going to drown. In the darkness of the cell, in its stink and warmth, while the sweat ran over his brows and tightly closed eyes, and his trance went on and on, one part of his mind tried to accustom him to the idea of his own death. But, like an unseen insect buzzing in a quiet room, there was something else. Something that would not go away, was of no use and only annoyed. It was a sentence, irrelevant and pointless, and so old he'd forgotten where he had heard or read it, and it went round and round the inside of his head like a marble spun round the inside of a jug. The Jin Moti of Boslin II kill the hereditary ritual assassins of the New Year King's immediate family by drowning them in the tears of the continental empathoa in its sadness season. At one point, shortly after his ordeal had begun, and he was only part way into his trance, he had wondered what would happen if he threw up. It had been when the palace kitchens, about 15 or 16 floors above, if his calculations were correct, had sent their waste down the sinuous network of plumbing that led to the sewer cell. The gurgling, watery mess had dislodged some rotten food from the last time some poor wretch had drowned in filth and garbage, and that was when he felt he might vomit. It had been almost comforting to work out that it would make no difference to the time of his death. Then he had wondered, in that state of nervous frivolity which sometimes afflicts those who can do nothing but wait, in a situation of mortal threat, whether crying would speed his death. In theory it would, though in practical terms it was irrelevant. But that was when the sentence started to roll round in his head. The Jin Moti of Boslin II kill the hereditary ritual. The liquid, which he could hear and feel and smell all too clearly, and could probably have seen with his far from ordinary eyes had they been open, washed briefly up to touch the bottom of his nose. He felt it block his nostrils, filling them with a stench that made his stomach heave. But he shook his head, tried to force his skull even further back against the stones, and the foul broth fell away. He blew down and could breathe again. There wasn't long now. He checked his wrists again, but it was no good. It would take another hour or more, and he had only minutes if he was lucky. The trance was breaking anyway. He was returning to almost total consciousness, as though his brain wanted fully to appreciate his own death, its own extinction. He tried to think of something profound, or see his life flash in front of him, or suddenly to remember some old love, a long-forgotten prophecy or premonition. But there was nothing. Just an empty sentence, and the sensations of drowning in other people's dirt and waste. You old bastards, he thought. One of their few strokes of humour or originality had been devising an elegant, ironic way of death. How fitting it must feel to them, dragging their decrepit frames to the banquet hall privies, literally to defecate all over their enemies and thereby kill them. The air pressure built up, and a distant, groaning rumble of liquid signalled another flushing from above. You old bastards. Well, I hope at least you kept your promise, Balveda. The Jin Moti of Boslin II kill the hereditary ritual, thought one part of his brain, as the pipes in the ceiling spluttered and the waste splashed into the warm mass of liquid which almost filled the cell. The wave passed over his face, then fell back to leave his nose free for a second and give him time to gulp a lungful of air. Then the liquid rose gently to touch the bottom of his nose again, and stayed there. He held his breath. It had hurt at first, when they had hung him up. His hands, tied inside tight leather pouches, were directly above his head and manacled inside thick loops of iron bolted to the cell walls, which took all his weight. His feet were tied together and left to dangle inside an iron tube, also attached to the wall, which stopped him from taking any weight on his feet and knees, and at the same time prevented him from moving his legs more than a hand's breadth out from the wall or to either side.